Please turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 9. Does anybody need an outline? I have an extra one. Okay. Dom, can you come and get that? Yeah, I have an extra one here. Matthew chapter 9. I'd like for us to read the passage, and I'm purposefully going to read it twice. So we'll read it, then we'll pray, and I'll share some thoughts, and then I want us to read it again, okay, the passage. So Matthew chapter 9, let's begin reading at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word of God. And we want to begin this time just acknowledging the power of your word. We want to praise you for the way that you have revealed to us your mind through your word. We're thankful for the Spirit of God that uses the word of God to teach us. I'm thankful for the leading and direction that we have through your Spirit. And it's our desire here today that you would teach us from your word. We've gathered together not because we want to just have our ears tickled. We want your Spirit to teach us from your word. So I pray that you would help each of us to be humble before your word. And may we not be distracted by the things around us. I do pray for Cornerstone, that we would take these truths and apply them to our lives. Lord, help me to apply these truths to my life. And I pray that you would use the word of God in a mighty way in our midst. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Last week, my family and I visited a historical landmark called the Ephrata Cloister. Maybe some of you have been there also. This cloister was built in the 18th century, and it was a monastic settlement where the followers of this guy named Conrad Beisel lived a very secluded life. Beisel actually lived on the property until his passing, and he became kind of the example for all of these followers for what he was teaching. These followers of this Beisel were incredibly devoted to his teaching, and they actually lived out the hard labor of that devotion. They purposefully were very limited in their diet. They would deprive themselves of sleep. They believed that Christ could come at any time, and they believed that Christ was going to come from about midnight till 2 o'clock in the morning. So every night they would deprive themselves of sleep, and they would get up and they would actually have a worship service between midnight and 2 o'clock in the evening. And so they were just very devoted to this guy's teaching. And their lifestyle was all about seclusion. And their lifestyle was all about practicing the teaching of this man. And I want us today to look at a passage, this passage, that is from our leader. And it gives us an example of how our leader lived and how we need to live. I love this passage because it gives us a glimpse into the life of our Savior. And his life was very different than this monastic sort of life that we were able to see down in Pennsylvania this last week. But I want you to notice again our leader Jesus in this passage, beginning in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I want us to notice really six observations from this passage. And then after we see the six observations, I want to kind of look at some of the application that we can take. So purposefully in the beginning, as we look at these six observations, I'm not going to make a lot of application, but I just want us to observe our Savior. And the first thing I want us to see is that he went about. You see that? And Jesus went about all the cities and villages. He didn't live a secluded lifestyle, but he went where the people were. And what a wonderful example. And how different the example is than some of these religions that promote this seclusion. Our Savior wasn't necessarily secluded. He was separate from sin, but not secluded. And he went about. He ministered to those around him. He went about his daily life, the daily rhythms of life, and went about looking for people. He was deliberate to teach, and he was deliberate to preach to those who are there. And so he went about the daily rhythms of life. He wasn't secluded. He was out where the people were. Second observation I want us to see is that he taught and he preached the gospel. Notice Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom. His message was life. His message was hope through God's gift of salvation, through him. He was going to be the sacrifice on the cross. And folks, I think it's so important for us to notice that he was preaching the gospel, and he wasn't necessarily preaching social reform. He wasn't preaching political reform. He was preaching the gospel. And folks, it's the gospel that changes lives. You can have very good political people, but if they don't know the gospel, they're just lost as anybody else. And so his message was that we're all sinners, God loves you, and that he was the one who would die for our sins. And God was offering salvation through him, the Messiah. And all we have to do is to accept the Messiah, Jesus Christ, God's gift, through faith. And Jesus was saying the law couldn't do this. The law could not save you. The law was the schoolmaster. The law was showing you how insufficient you are in order to be saved. But God's Messiah, Jesus Christ, could do that work. God's gift was Jesus Christ. The law couldn't save, but he preached the gospel that he could save. And so that's what Jesus taught. So he went about. He was in the midst of where the people were, and he met people and ministered to them the gospel. Notice thirdly, he healed the sick and the diseased. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And folks, Jesus was doing that to confirm his message that he was the chosen one. He was God himself. He is the Messiah. And so Jesus is God, and he has the power to do these miracles of healing. And so that confirmed message was brought to the people. God himself was there in the flesh and was going to pay that penalty for your sin. And this message that Jesus was bringing is that you can exchange your sinfulness for Christ's righteousness. And Jesus went about healing people physically to confirm that spiritual message that he had for them. And so, folks, the message of the gospel is something that is confirmed. The message of the gospel, when we go and share the gospel, it's a confirmed message. Jesus confirmed it over and over and over again. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're part of that confirmation that he's changed you and you have new life and that Christ has given you his righteousness. And this message, Jesus went about and he healed the sick as a way to confirm his message to those. So he went about teaching and preaching and confirming the gospel, the good news. Fourthly, we see that he saw the multitudes. He saw the multitudes. Look at verse 36. And when he saw the multitudes. Oh, folks, let's stop right there. It's not that he simply looked around. Do you see me? But if I was to ask you without looking, okay, what color tie is Dan True wearing? Probably some of you wouldn't know. Okay? How many of you know without looking? Okay? Nobody, right? Okay? Because we sometimes see people, right? We sometimes see people, but we don't necessarily observe. We're not aware of what's going on. But Jesus saw the multitude. He was observant. He was aware. He was aware and discerning about their spiritual needs. He saw the people out there that were hurting. They were broken. They were suffering. They were sinners. They were unsaved. They were lost. And what we see is that Jesus saw people. And he didn't just see them as an inconvenience. He observed their need. He saw what was going on in their hearts. And so he was observant. He saw the multitude. But notice in verse 36, he didn't just see them. Notice when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. So number five, he was moved with compassion because of their condition. Folks, he saw the multitude. He saw what was going on. He knew what was in their heart. And that moved him. And it testifies of his deep desire for those that are suffering and those that are hurting and those who need his help. And we see that he was moved because of their condition. They were fainted. You see that? Verse 36. They were moved compassion because they fainted. The idea is they were exhausted. They were weak. They were despondent. And I'm sure in this context that some of them were very much physically that way. But I believe that they were spiritually that way. I mean, these people were devout. They were devout and they wanted to know the Messiah. They wanted to know, how can I be right with God? And I'm sure they were very, very hard at work, but they fainted. They were exhausted. And folks, maybe you were in that condition at one point where you were trying to work. You were trying to gain God's favor. You were trying to get right with God. It becomes exhausting. You know, trying to work out the law, right. Trying to be perfect, right. Trying to atone for your own sin. It's exhausting. Right. Late nights, trying to figure out, how can I reconcile this? How can I reconcile my wicked heart? How can I reconcile my sin? It's exhausting. So Jesus looked out, and I believe in the context, certainly they were physically exhausted. I believe, too, he sees the exhaustion of them spiritually. Notice they were scattered. The idea of a bomb going off and just being thrown about. Okay? So a bomb goes off and all these people are like scattered all over the place. That's the picture there. So Jesus saw them. He was moved with compassion. They were fainting, and they were scattered abroad. But notice they were scattered abroad like sheep, having no shepherd. And so he was moved by their condition. They were like sheep. They were frail, broken, without direction. They were unsafe. They weren't safe under the great shepherd's care. And so he was moved with that reality that all these people that are scattered abroad, all these people who had been working to try to gain God's favor, were in a dangerous place. All these people out in Oakdale, all these people out in Westerly, throughout our state, they're fainting. They're scattered. They're like sheep. They're not under the shepherd's care, the great shepherd's care. And when Jesus saw those in that area, that moved him to compassion. He was moved with compassion because they were lost. They were in a dangerous place. You know, I think it's interesting when you look at this passage here, Jesus doesn't scold them. Dumb sheep. Why didn't you bring more water? Then you wouldn't be, you know, you should have brought electrolytes and you wouldn't have been fainting under the sun. Okay? Didn't say that. He didn't scold them. Folks, what did he do? He pitied them. He was sympathetic towards me. He loved them. He could have told them to toughen up. Right? He could have said, you know, you just need to toughen up. Life is hard. But he didn't. He had compassion on them. And I find it so interesting here, folks, between this point and the next point, that what Jesus did when he was moved with compassion. So we see that he was moved with compassion. But what was he moved to do? He could have preached more. Right? Yeah, he could have preached more. And he said, he could have said, hey, I'm what you need. He could have done that. He could have said, hey, you sheep, come over here. And certainly Jesus did that. But he doesn't do that here. He could have said, you know, I want you to gather and I'm going to preach some more because I'm the shepherd. I want to preach more and I want to teach you more. But he doesn't do that. He could have taught them more. He could have said, hey, you know what? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He could have. I'm your only hope. He could have said that. He could have added another sandwich Sunday. Right? He could have said, you know what? We've got to get a really exciting VBS this year. Look at all these people. Okay? They have kids. Okay? And I'm really moved with compassion, so we need to add another meal. We need to add a really exciting teen challenge because there's some teens out here. Folks, that's not what he did. I want you to notice. He could have circled the disciples. Listen, he could have circled the disciples. And please understand, I'm going to clarify what I'm going to say, and I'm not trying to be rude. He could have circled the disciples, and he could have said, you know what? We've got to get more literature out to these people. Okay, on Tuesday, we're all going to meet here, and we just need to give out more literature to these people. Okay, and passing out literature is good. Okay, so I'm not saying that's wrong, but Jesus doesn't do that. I want you to see what Jesus did. This is so important. Notice what he does. He was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And then what does he do? He doesn't even talk to them. Who does he talk to? He talks to his disciples. Point number six, notice this observation. He talked to his disciples. He talked to his followers. Folks, he's talking to us. Right here. He shared this with his disciples. And then this same mission that he shares with the disciples is passed on to us. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this mission, this same philosophy, this same teaching of our leader is for us today. Notice what he says. He says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into this harvest field, into this harvest. So he says the harvest is abundant. It's plenteous. The need is great. And I can almost imagine Jesus pointing out, look at all the fainting, look at all the scattered, look at all these lost sheep. The harvest is abundant. The need is great. But there's only a few helpers. There's only a few laborers. So the question is, who's going to help? Who's going to do that? And so notice what he says after that. He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So what does he tell his disciples to do? Does he say to order the next meal? Does he say plan the next event? Okay, get a really good VBS. Okay. Does he say order some literature? Okay, we need some material for these people. Doesn't do that. Notice what he tells his disciples to do. He tells them to pray. He says, pray to the one who can help them. Okay? And then he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth more laborers into his harvest. It's not your harvest. It's his harvest. And these are his lost sheep. And these are the ones who need to be saved. And it's him who's going to send us to do his work. And so pray to the Lord of the harvest and ask him to bring the laborers into this harvest field. And I find it so interesting that Jesus, okay, folks, you know how powerful God is, right? I mean, you know Jesus was able to be raised from the dead. He has that power. So he could have reached all those people there if he wanted to, right? I mean, he could have gone and done a miracle. He could have talked to the thousands of people and changed their hearts if he wanted to. But what did he do? He commissioned his disciples, his followers, to pray for more laborers so that they could go with his power and reach the fainting and the scattered. Their mission wasn't to just go. Their mission wasn't, Jesus didn't rally them and say, okay, we got to come up with a good strategy here in order to reach these people. Jesus says, go and pray. You need to pray and then go. And their mission was to pray. Pray to the Lord. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. They couldn't reach the lost without the Lord of the harvest changing those hearts. So Jesus encouraged them to pray and get on board with what the Lord of the harvest was doing. And they needed the power of the Lord of the harvest to minister to those people. So let's apply these truths that we see in this passage. If Jesus is our leader, okay, if we're supposed to follow him, let's look at some application here. Number one, we need to deliberately go. We need to deliberately go about our lives looking for opportunities to share the gospel. You say, well, Pastor Jake, I'll never be able to get to Tanzania and share the gospel with those people. No. The mission is to go where you're at. And if God calls you to Tanzania, great. But we need to be deliberately going about our lives looking for opportunities to share the gospel. Jesus' method wasn't necessarily event-based. He didn't say, you know, get this program together so then the pastor can, you know, preach the gospel in a, you know, a group setting. No, it's go and share the gospel. So share the gospel in the daily rhythms of your life. We can get so fixated on a program. And folks, please understand, I'm not against the program. And I try to clarify this a lot. I'm not against programs, okay? I'm leading the VBS. I am part of leading the VBS and leading the teen show, okay? So I'm doing events, okay? I'm for events. But we can get so fixated on those events that we forget what the ministry is. The ministry is not the event. The ministry is the people. And God tells us to go and share the gospel. So going when you're getting gas in your car, God may bring somebody to you to have a conversation with. Are you going to the store when you're at work? Okay? God brings us into the paths of people who are lost, who are fainting, who are scattered, who are unsaved. And they need the light of the gospel to change them. So we can get so focused on our life that we forget to go with His mission in mind. We go with our mission in mind. Oh, I gotta do this task. Oh, I gotta finish this job. And we often forget the mission is those around us, the people around us. So we need to deliberately go and share the gospel. Number two, from our passage, we see that we need to make the gospel our main focus. We need to make the gospel our main focus. Folks, it's not political. It's not political reform that's going to change the world. It's not moral reform. You can have somebody who's unsaved, who is a moral person, and they're still going to go to hell. And so it's not moral reform that Jesus was doing here. It wasn't political reform. It was gospel. We could say gospel reform. Can we say that? It's the gospel that changes their lives. Amen. It brings hope. And so our focus needs to be the gospel, not politics, not social reform. Okay? We need to focus on the gospel. So making lost people into good, moral, lost people doesn't help. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Moral reform, they can have moral reform, but they can still be unsaved. And folks, we need to make the gospel the main focus of our lives. Number three, we need to look around and observe the need. Jesus saw the multitude. He was observant. And we need to do the same. We need to look around and we need to observe the need. Can I ask you this question? I'm going to ask you anyway. Do you care about those around you? I'm not talking about the people over in Tanzania, okay? What about the people right who are around you, who come in contact with you? Sometimes we can be so self-focused, we can be so driven with what we're doing, and we lose sight of those around us. We miss the fact that there are people around us that have needs. So are you aware of those around you? Do you notice those who are hurting? Folks, I would say maybe it's time, and I believe we've got to do this more and more. We've got to get active in talking to people and getting our conversations pointed to the gospel. You know, you say, well, I'm not a really talkative person. It doesn't matter. You need to make it your mission to be a talkative person and talk about the gospel. You say, I'm just an introvert. Well, no, you're really proud. If you're an introvert, if you're shy, hey, really, it's a pride thing. Oh, I don't want to mess up my work. Okay. And sometimes we need to humble ourselves and we need to go and obey God's command and get on board with God's mission and share the gospel. So we need to start talking to people. We need to start prompting conversations with them with the intent of directing that conversation to the gospel. Folks, that's their hope. Sometimes we sit back idly because we're afraid, we're shy. And what we need to do is really get involved with people's lives. We need to see their need. And we need to look around and observe and start asking people, hey, how are you doing? And I love what Pastor was saying. You guys can't lie now about how you're doing. And what a great thing for us to go around and say, hey, I noticed you were a little down today. I'm not being judgmental to you. I'm just asking, how are you doing? Is there any way that I can help? Is there any way that I can pray for you? You see how that's different? It's so different instead of saying, look at you. Oh, folks, that's terrible. I've had people do that to me, and I'm not saying this accusatory, but there are times when life is very heavy, right? It can be very heavy. And you're not trying to be rude in the way that you look, But when somebody comes along and like, hey, what's up with you? It's like, oh, wow, you don't have enough time to even, you know, share what's going on. Oh, but we need to go around and we need to really care and say, hey, could we meet? I saw the need. It seemed like there was a need. And maybe we could meet. Oh, folks, we need to be like our Savior. We need to be observant to what's going on in this church body and with other believers and to the lost. There's a great need. Number four, we need to have compassion for the lost. Folks, that's the heart of our Savior. He had compassion for the lost. And I would say we need to have compassion, and this is what I believe you see in this scattering and this fainting of all these people that Jesus was looking at, that Jesus had compassion on the whole spectrum of lost people. It wasn't just the religious people that he had a heart for. He had a heart for all the lost, the unsaved people. And so we need to have compassion on the whole spectrum of unsaved people. Maybe those who are blatantly rebellion against God. Maybe the ones you look at and you're like, oh, man, they're really scary, rebellious against God. We need to have a heart for them. But folks, we need to have compassion for the lost who maybe look the part of a Christian. They may be morally good, but they're just as lost as the scary, rebellious looking person. We need to, folks, there are lost people out in the world that we need to have compassion on. And there's lost people in our homes. There's young people in our homes that need to be saved. There's lost people in Mongolia. And there's lost people in Westerly. There's lost people in Oakdale. And there's lost people right where you live. And so, folks, we need to have compassion on this broad spectrum of people. We can't just say, okay, God, I'm not going to witness to this person because maybe they have a tattoo or maybe they have all these earrings. Or, you know, I'm not going to, you know, that's kind of scary to me. Folks, we need to have compassion on the full spectrum of lost people. Do you have compassion for the drug dealer, the addict, maybe the transgender person? Or do you also have compassion on those who may dress like you think a Christian should dress? Or maybe somebody has good morals, yet they're still unsaved. Do you have compassion on them too? We need to love the lost. We need to share with them the gospel. And so Jesus saw the multitude, and it moved him. He was compassionate towards those people. Folks, I hope we don't look out at the lost and think that we're somehow better than them, because we're not. And our heart needs to be that of compassion for the lost. Maybe a lost child, all the way up to someone in maybe a nursing home towards the end of their life. We need to have compassion on the unsaved and on the lost. And so finally, our final application, this is really for us as a church and us for individually, we need to pray. Jesus gathers his disciples around and said, hey, we need to pray. You need to pray. We need more laborers. Folks, he's not saying we need more pastors. He's not saying we need more teachers. We need more laborers who are going to go out with the message of the gospel and share that with the lost. And folks, we need God's power in reaching the lost. We need God's help in reaching the needy. Do you know that sometimes reaching people is really messy? You know, people are needy. And I'm speaking about me. Okay? I'm needy. Okay? You're needy. Okay? And we're all needy. And sometimes the gospel work, it can be discouraging. And we need God's help. We need His power to reach them. We can't do it without Him. He's the Lord of the harvest. And folks, He wants to help you. You may say, Pastor Jake, I'm kind of nervous to share the gospel with my neighbor. I'm kind of nervous with that gas station attendant. You know, I'm a little nervous to share the gospel. Well, pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Say, God, do you want me to be the one? I believe you want me to be the one to share the gospel. Then give me the power to be able to do that. He wants to help you. And as we fulfill His mission, He's going to help you. Oftentimes we just need to go. We just need to share the gospel. Be bold in doing it. So folks, God hasn't called us to a life of seclusion. He's called us to be His messengers to the lost. He could have gone out and He could have ministered to all those people Himself. But He gathered His disciples and told them to pray that they would be those messengers to the lost. And folks, that's what God has called us to do. And so His mission of reaching the lost needs to be our mission. His mission needs to be our mission. And folks, we can get so focused on what our mission is. If you're like me, you've already planned your week out. Maybe you've planned your month out. But folks, we can't let our scheduling get in the way of His mission. Maybe God would bring you into the path. God will bring you into the path of lost people this week. Can I encourage you to make His mission your mission this week? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for teaching us from Your Word. Thank You for the help that You give us in obeying Your Word. And I pray that You would help us as Christians, those who are brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would make Your mission our mission. I pray for this week, Lord, that You would give us gospel opportunities and that we would not be blind to the lost that are around us. Lord, help us to see the need. Help us to be observant. Help us and use us in advancing the gospel. Lord, we can't change people's hearts. We know You can. And so we pray for the Lord, to the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth more laborers into Oakdale, and that You would send more laborers into Salem and the surrounding towns in Westerly and in Connecticut and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Lord, would You use us? Help us to get on mission. Thank You for this instruction. Thank You for our Savior who is our greatest example. Amen. We're so thankful for Him. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.